Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You all wet? Praise God. Well, everybody stand up for one more moment. We're going to center our attention on the Lord. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and bless Him. Father, we bless You this morning. If you know how to speak in tongues, if you don't know how, do it anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. We worship You, Jesus. We thank You for the anointing of God. We thank You for the power of God today. We praise You, Lord. We thank You for the presence, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in every believer. Praise God. We thank You for the power of God that comes upon individuals to anoint them to do the work of God. We thank You for His leading, His guiding, His counsel, His teaching, His direction, His protection. We thank You, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us a covering, a shield from the enemy. So we cover ourselves by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we cover our families this morning, wherever they are, with the blood of Jesus. We send out angels. We dispatch angels to help them, guide them, lead them, direct them, Father, in the path that they should go. We thank You for every believer that's here this morning, that they will get a touch of God. They'll get a direction from God. They'll get wisdom from God. And everyone that's watching by television, everyone that's watching on live stream, may the power of God begin to descend upon them in that room, wherever they are, in a hospital or a jail cell or a hotel room or their living room, wherever they are. In the name of Jesus, we conquer the enemy by the name, Father God. We overcome him by the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Father. We rejoice in You. We thank You in advance for what You'll do. Hallelujah. Everybody said hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, go ahead, be seated. We're just happy to be here. And, you know, I know it's raining a little bit, but thank God that we're alive. Amen. You get mad when the clouds come in there, you know. It doesn't make you feel that good. I like feeling good. Do you? All the time. Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, I'm glad you're here to learn. How many of you come to learn? Well, you're in the right place. You're going to get something. You don't want you to get bored. Glory to God. Well, we've been talking, I think last week we talked about the ministry of serving, and this month's about serving, or the ministry helps. And so we kind of cater along the line. And so we talked about last week helping, serving God through the help of the Holy Spirit. And we used Romans 12:11. We said that you can't lose your zeal. And we must be filled with the power of God. And so we talked about that on Wednesday. We talked about how vital the Holy Spirit was in every church that Paul started, and that he emphasized the Spirit. Jesus left physically, but with his body, went to heaven, and he said he sent the Holy Spirit. And he told the 120 to wait for the power from on high. And when he was with the apostles, his 12 close ones that he chose, you know, the word apostle means sent ones. They had a special message, the apostles did. And anybody that has a message is a sent one. Or at least, you know, what we call today, we see missionaries. We don't see that in the Bible. But there is sent ones. They're called missionaries or sent ones. They come to establish God's church, or they begin to start a church and start one. So Paul started churches. He was also a missionary, an evangelist, an apostle. And he started, and he's a teacher as well, a preacher too. He must have been a good preacher. He had the Holy Ghost. And he started churches. He started the church at Rome, and he spoke to the church at Rome. And he told them how important that it was for them that they had the power of God in demonstration. He said, we make the Gentiles obedient by the power of God. And you know, the power of God is given to us so that we might be arrested and attended to, that we might have our faith in the power of God, as Paul mentioned to the Corinthian church. In the Corinthian church, you know, they had the power of God at demonstration, but they were all carnal, much like some of you, and they didn't know any better about different things, so they kind of abused the gifts, different gifts. How many people know you can abuse spiritual gifts? You can abuse preaching and so on, teaching, and you can abuse different things. You can abuse singing. You can sing all day long and not do anything. and so you can do a lot of things, but it's important that we understand the vitality of the Spirit of God in our lives. You cannot serve God without the help of the Holy Spirit. And none of you can. None of us can. No one in the history of the church has served God without God's Spirit, His power upon them. Everyone in the Old Testament, they didn't have, you know, a degree in engineering or some kind of ingenuity or some kind of a intellectual knowledge. They didn't do things. Samson didn't pull out his degree and says, I'm Samson. And he demonstrated God by the power of God on him. Daniel and all the ones that we see there, that they all had the power. And Stephen did mighty works by the power and faith and the Spirit of God. And none of us is going to do anything that is going to be vitally essential to our neighbor and our own lives without the Spirit's help in our lives. And Jesus emphasized the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15 and 16. He began to tell them that he is going to send someone just like himself, and that he would, that this person is called Holy Spirit, and that he would help them. He would strengthen them. He would comfort them. He would teach them. He would lead them. He would do everything that he needed to do. And Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. You know, Paul began to, he met the church in Ephesus. Actually, he met those people over in the 16th chapter, I believe, or 19th chapter, 16th chapter, one of those, I think it's 19th chapter of the book of Acts. And he met this bunch of people. They said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? That's in Acts chapter 19. You can check it out later on. And they said, no, we never heard of the Holy Spirit. How did you start believing Jesus? He said. He said, some guy by the name of John the Baptist came by. He's a Baptist minister. And he came by here and he told us about Jesus. He said, believe on Jesus, you'll be saved. And so Paul said to him, yeah, that's true, but there's something vitally else, something important, that is the Holy Spirit. They said, we never heard about no Holy Spirit. He said, well, come on over here. Let me put your head over here on my hand. And he laid hands upon them, and they began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can put my hand on you right now, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to force you. Amen? So you have to cooperate. Some of you are cooperating right now. Praise God. Amen? And you need to behave yourself for a while until we get going here. Praise God. Amen? And so, over the years, I grew up as a Catholic. I was a very good Catholic boy. I went to church every Sunday. And I did all my catechism and had very, very good marks in school as a Catholic boy. I went to a Catholic convent. I was going to try to be a nun, but they kicked me out. No, I didn't. I went to actually a residential school. They had nuns and nuns there teaching us. And then we had what we call an Indian day school. So I said, what in the world is an Indian day school? That's where all the Indian kids get to. But we were natives, First Nations. And we went in that school. And they taught us about Jesus. But, they taught you different things about the Bible, but you know, how many know that some people could teach about the Bible, but they don't necessarily are saved. And so I learned about a lot of good things as a young man, but I wasn't saved until I was 24 years of age in college. And with my Catholic upbringing, I was happy to learn about some things, but I didn't know the full things, just like those people in Acts chapter 19. They knew about Jesus. They knew about the different aspects of what Jesus was doing. And so they believed on Jesus. And then they, of course, Paul told them about the Holy Spirit. So they, the Bible says in verse 6, I believe it is, that Paul laid hands upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to prophesy, spoke with tongues, and prophesied. That's a wonderful gift to have. And so later on, Paul begins to talk to them and wrote a letter to these same individuals. He went to Ephesus, the Bible says there in Acts 19. He wrote a letter to them. He called that letter Ephesus. It's a book called Ephesus. Y'all read your Bible? So it's in there, and he wrote to them, and he said to them, in chapter 5, verse 18, he says, continually be filled with the Spirit. He told them that once before. They got another experience. You need a fresh experience. Glory to God, amen. You need to be so endued with power from on high. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. If I could find my notes, I'll be happy. So let's go here. Glory to God. I think I might have... Sometimes, you know, these things work. Sometimes they don't work. Something's happened to my apparatus over here. Praise God. Let's talk about... So our topic this morning is the Spirit and the anointing of God. The title of our message is The Results of a Fresh Anointing. Amen? The Results of a Fresh Anointing. Glory to God. Amen. I was told this morning there's a couple or somebody here that's from out of town and visiting with us from a community entitled by my name. Praise God. Who's that? Right here. Praise God. Welcome to Faith City Church. You're going to go to the bathroom? Okay. You come right back. We'll talk to you again. Let's give these guys a hand. They're from Fisher River, Manitoba. Praise God. Amen. And so I guess they've been watching the program, I believe, or watched the program. And so we're trying to, like, I'm going to be this summer. I was called by a pastor in Regina that he wants me to come and visit there and minister to First Nations people in that city, in that area. He said, what can I do to help you? I said, I need to get into the western part of Canada. So we're going to take a western tour and visit the people out there and make knowing what we're doing here in our city and what we're doing across Ontario and Canada as well. So thank God what we're doing. So anyway, let's go to Psalm 92, verse 10. We give you a number of scriptures we'll give you those scriptures later and how vital it is for us. You know, we haven't taught on this for a number of years probably. And we kind of mentioned over some time, but the psalmist says, but my horn thou shalt exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I guess that's called a wild ox. And he says in the latter part of that verse, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now let's go ahead and say that together, this last phrase. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So I want you to understand that Paul, or at least, excuse me, the psalmist here, David, he talks about I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I believe that we need to have a fresh encounter with God. And I remember years ago when the Lord began to move upon my life as a young boy. I got saved when I was 24 years old. And then, shortly after that, I was filled with the Spirit. Had such an encounter with God that I lost consciousness of this world and was more conscious of God and the presence of God and stood in the presence of God. It was so glorious and wonderful. It just felt so heavenly. And I did not want to come out of that presence. It was so joyful. And I had an encounter, such a real strong encounter. And over the years, I've had some more stronger encounters like that. And I always wondered why I had those encounters. How many people know that when you have an encounter with God, it's for a reason and a purpose? See, God doesn't have an encounter. You don't have an encounter with God just because you want to have a good time. Well, that can happen. You can actually have a good time in the Spirit. But it's for a reason. And many people need a refreshing. Because they're tired of this whole world. Tired of what's happening in the city here. Tired of what's happening in their lives. We need the Spirit. And people get tired of serving. People quit the church and say, I'm tired. And so they leave. But people who are filled with the Spirit, they want to keep going. And God's power is continually available. And so people need to understand that you need a fresh encounter with God. You need to have that same experience that you had before in a new way. And so if you haven't had the encounter with the Spirit, you need one. But you don't know it. There's many people that think, you know, I can do without this, I'm okay. But, you know, you need the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need God in your life more than ever. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Then He's going to help you. He's going to empower you. Glory to God. I'm glad three people are excited this morning. Amen. Glory to God. So there is a fresh oil available today for particularly on people who want to serve. You want to serve God, you need a fresh anointing. And so men of old in the Bible, Old Testament, would be anointed with fresh oil, as you see here in this verse of Scripture, as a sign to stand in the office. At that time, as a king or a prophet or a priest, he would anoint these people to mark the day and the hour and the occasion that the Holy Spirit from that moment on would come upon them to minister to the people for God, on behalf of God. So you see, I always wondered why I had those encounters. I had an encounter with God. I had a few of those encounters with the Spirit. And I went out into the spiritual realm with the power of God. And I lost consciousness of this world. This whole world disappeared. Amen. I didn't know I was here. Went out into the Spirit. And the presence of God was so wonderful and glorious. And, you know, I talked to different people who had an encounter with spoke with tongues. They had a, you know, experience, and they had a legitimate experience with the Spirit. Some people, like my wife, you know, she got filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, and she never really felt anything. And I had such an encounter with God that it was so strong, it changed my life. It was like almost like Paul. Paul got saved, and he went out immediately, and he preached Christ. That's exactly what happened in my life. And so I went out and I began to preach Jesus and told people about God, how wonderful He was and so on. And not everybody was happy with my news. And I thought everybody should be happy that, you know, the streets are safer without me on there. Stop robbing their cars and so on and breaking their homes and whatever. But God, you know, I had that encounter and it changed my life totally, revolutionized my life. And I moved away to, I got graduated from college, and I moved away to a town just on the road near Kenora, called Kenora, Ontario, by the Manitoba border. I didn't know anybody there. My first job was a college graduate, moved down to Kenora, over Kenora, Ontario, west of here. Then one night, praise God, while reading a book called Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. You see, I was hungry. I got that book deliberately because I was hungry for God. I wanted to know God. See, when you're hungry, Jesus said, those that are hungry shall be filled. Amen. Like yesterday, I was hungry. I came to work this morning, yesterday morning, did counseling here, and went to bed really late on Friday night. and got up early and got prepared and went over to work in the morning here. And talked with people and so on. And I didn't eat. They said, well, bring yourself a sandwich. And they brought me this little cold little thing there, and I didn't eat it. Then I got hungry. You know, your body needs to be fed. I see some of you have done a good job. I forgot about the eating, and so I kind of carried on my day, and I went to pick up someone over in Fort William, and I said, let's go, and I'm going to go make some burgers. So I made some beautiful, juicy burgers. Man, they're wonderful. Put all the fixings, and I looked at Google and tried to figure out how you make this fatter and juicier. So it's wonderful. I ate the burger. As soon as I ate the burgers, somebody called me and said, come over to my house, eat some fish. Pickerel. Well, I'm already full. And I didn't want any more fish. I'm full of burgers. Hey, man, I couldn't stuff one little wing of fish in there. So I said, I'll be over later. So she said, oh, yeah, I come back. It'll be about 7 o'clock. I said, okay, good. So I went over there, had some nice fish, because I was empty again. Amen? And so we need to have a fresh encounter, fresh fish, so to speak, fresh, anointing. Yeah. So, just because you got full one time, you need to get filled again. How many people ready for another filling, praise God, amen? You need another, Holy Ghost and filling. And so that's what I'm trying to tell you, see. You have to use, Jesus used a natural illustration to show spiritual truth. And so here, it says in there that in the Old Testament, that the prophet, whoever it was, always went and they anointed someone into an office of a prophet or a king or a priest. And so they took the oil and anointed that guy. And from that day forward, the power of God would come upon them to anoint them to stand in that office. You don't get anointed to be a priest and then stand in office as a king, because you were anointed to be a priest. And so you could not violate one thing or another, or you would die in the Old Testament. You see that in the Old Testament. But, they it marked them. So I almost wondered why the Holy Ghost came upon me in that way. And I didn't understand that you can get an anointing from someone else who is anointed. And you come and you respect the man of God, and you respect that person enough, the power of God will begin to use that respect that you have for the man or a ministry, and that same anointing will come upon you, especially if you're in the same area of office. And when I had that experience, it was like my faith came alive. How many people know that your faith needs to come alive? Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit? So Paul tells the church over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come preaching with man's wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. We made a distinction between the demonstration of the Spirit and the demonstration of power last Wednesday. We talked a little bit about that, and he said, I came to you in demonstration, mainly this emphasis, and that is that demonstrating the power of God. And so God demonstrates to us, in verse 5 it says, demonstrate the Spirit and power, and verse 5 says, that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when we see the power of God in demonstration and sense the power of God in demonstration, there is more vitality to your faith. You know, it's better to see a live picture than to see it like a still picture. That's the difference between someone who is born again and someone who is born again and filled with the Spirit. And so thank God that you can have vitality to your faith. And so the Spirit of God came, and my spiritual life came alive. It was so alive that I wanted to tell everybody about this experience and, and about the Bible. And so I fell so in love with the Bible. I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for a number of years. And for about my four and a half years, I read all the books they gave me and I studied them. I just didn't read them. I studied them every night. I was hungry for God. I read the 12 of 12 book, the AA Comes of Age, the big book, the 12 tradition book, and whatever books they had in literature. I read everything. I wanted to know what they knew. I wanted to know how this first guy got such an encounter with God, this man called Bill Wilson. So I said, if he had an encounter with God, I want one. I said, if he had one, then I want one too. I found out in the Bible that God doesn't choose, just have favorites. He'll give whatever, one guy has. He gives everybody the same thing.
Yeah.
So I told God, I was strong on it. I said, God, I want exactly what this man had. You know, guess what happened? I had exactly what that man had and a little bit more.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He said, this guy must be lying. No, I'm telling you the truth. I told the church, if I didn't have these encounters with God, I would have quit the ministry a long time ago. Because my encounters with God was so alive, I was so convinced that God called me to Thunder Bay. There was, Thunder Bay is not exactly Church City. And not so many people come up and they'll give you money to do something they don't believe in. They have to believe what you're doing. And you are here because you believe in what we're doing. Getting the word out. And so, I had that encounter. And every time I felt like I wanted to quit, God brought back those memories to me. These encounters that I had. And I believe that I'm about to have some more, praise God. Amen. I'm going to have more because God will do more than you can imagine. Or even ask. Glory to God. So I believe I'm going out west, young man. I'm going to go west and do some ministry there. I'm looking for open doors to bring in, some word. And so I feel like, the Lord spoke to me, and I couldn't do this without his power. The Lord spoke just to me, and I know we were, some of you know the story, some of you don't, so I'm telling people who are on television or watching, they need to know what we're doing. See, I'm not promoting myself, Roma Fisher. I can't do anything. In fact, I watched my own programs. I said, how could anybody listen to this? You know what I'm saying? You understand that because God has to do it. So the Lord, I'm sitting there, and the prophet of God spoke to me. He said, I see you on television in a very short time. And I don't know what it is, if it's on internet or it's local, whatever it is, you're going to be on television. Everywhere you go, people are going to say, hey, I didn't know you were on television. And that's exactly how it's happening all the time, even today.
Yeah. Amen.
And so we got on television without no money, didn't know anything about television, didn't know how to work even my phone, or in fact, I didn't even have a phone back then. And so the Lord put that on there, and we didn't have any money. It takes money to be on television. That's why a whole lot of people are not on television. You ever notice that? So it just eats up money. But people out there are getting saved. Getting born again. Getting filled. Getting healed. Praise God. So the Lord said to me, and the man of God said this to me, and this was pivotal in this decision. He said, the Lord says to me that you'll be on television in a very short time. And God needs a teacher across this nation, and you're it.
Amen.
That's what he said to me. Now, when I went to Rhema, I told you this, my experience. When I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, the Spirit of God sent me. I was worshiping God one day, and the Spirit of God came upon me, and the word of knowledge came. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go to Rhema. I want you to go right now. It was an urgency in the Spirit to tell me to go. So it told me that three times. I said no first time, and I just said, this can't be real. And the Lord said, this is me. You go, and I went. My wife and I went. We didn't have any money, so we followed the Spirit. You have to understand, I told people that we quit our careers to go to be a missionary in our own city. You have to understand that. That my wife and I left our careers after so many years of going to school, working so hard, then I arrive at the top of the pinnacle of the mountain, and God says, go back. He said, this is not for you. You're going to the ministry. So we went to the ministry. So being a missionary in your own city is a whole lot different.
Yes, it is.
Because people know you every day. They know where you came from. And, you know, you can't act like a big shot. You're in a different city. So they know who you are. That's why God gave me some power in my life to stand strong. And so when I went to Rhema, I said, Lord, why couldn't I have gone to Bible school over here in St. Catharines, Ontario? Why couldn't I go to school over here? Why couldn't I go to school at my pastor's Bible school over here in Windsor? Why couldn't I just do that? Why couldn't I just take correspondence? The Lord told me why he wanted me there, but he said this to me. So I'm there, and I asked the Lord that question. So why did you send me here, Lord? Why am I here? And so that morning in the Bible school meeting with one of our teachers, he was one of the deans there, he says, you're here. God told us to pray for you. You're here because of that. We prayed all summer for you. And you're here because God brought you here because we've been praying for you. And that morning, the Brother Hagin, in one of those sessions, pointed at us. He said, when Jesus appeared to me, in August 5th, 1950, he says, when he appeared to me, he says, go teach my people faith. Well, he couldn't do that because nobody knew him. He just was a poor old preacher, couldn't drive around and across, very far with his little vehicle. It's falling apart. How could he preach faith to teach people faith? So, God tells us different things that are incredible. We don't know how we're going to do it, but it takes the Spirit of God to help us to do things. People need this message. Just like Pastor Ken said, people need to hear the message of salvation. So Brother Hagin said, pointed to me, he said, when Jesus told me, go teach my people faith, he told you to go teach people faith. So that's what I'm doing right now. So God told me to change my ministry in 1998. He said, no longer hold those kind of meetings that you've been having. I want you to teach. I want you to start teaching. So I started to learn to be a teacher. And so our First Nations people, this is what I want to say. Our First Nations people, they have a lot of preaching meetings, a lot of singing meetings, a lot of Holy Ghost type, what they call Holy Ghost type of meetings. It's really not Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost, but the real Holy Ghost meetings, you learn something vital for your life.
Amen.
Like going to church and whatever. So we need to have more instruction, more fathers, more teachers in the body of Christ, especially within the First Nations church. So we're having a summit over in Six Nations over there somewhere, I think at Walpole Island. Some pastors asked me to come and help with teaching, raising up some strong pastors and leaders, especially as pastors. So they asked me to come in there. So I want to bring a camera. I have a cameraman right there. And we got a camera. Well, he might come. Somebody else might come. You might come. Won't you want to be a camera? So we're going to show some of this and interview some of these pastors. People, we need to change our city.
Amen.
And do something about it. People say, what are you doing about for the city? I said, well, I don't know. What do you think? Well, we're bringing the gospel for one thing. Praise God. So that anointing, that they would anoint the priest or the king or the prophet with that oil, signifying from that day forward, the anointing would come. And so from my life, the same thing happened. The Holy Ghost came upon me from that day forward. It marked my life forever. That anointing, listen to me, that anointing was a sign to me that he called me. And that anointing on my life was a sign to those people who I was ministering to. They said, there's something about that guy. Something extra on him. What is it? They said that about Jesus. So God gives you an anointing as a sign to yourself and to the people that you minister that He is on you, that He's called you, that He's using you for a very purpose. We need the anointing. We need this experience regularly. We need the singers to be anointed, and they are anointed. They need a little bit extra more anointing, especially Pastor Steve. And really, really, really badly, Pastor Ken. Well, we all need it. I need it badly. So, over in the New Testament, there are anointings as well. God's people are encouraged to get a refreshing. All of God's people are encouraged to get a refreshing of the Spirit. And I put on my Facebook page this morning. You know, I lost track of time this morning because it was so dark and I'm studying. And man, it's time to go to church. And I put on there, you know, there's characteristics of being filled with the Spirit. There's a characteristic of being, how do you know when you're filled? How do you know when you're full of the Spirit? How do you know when you're empty? That's my question to you. How do you really know when you're full of the Spirit or full of something else? Full of chicken. Huh? So you have to understand this. So you have to make the assertion, or at least the figuring whether or not I'm full. Am I full or am I not full? And you can certainly tell on somebody else if someone's full when they're not full. So the Bible will give us a description on how to discover whether or not you're full or you're empty. We all need a fresh encounter. Would you all like to learn that?
Yeah.
Seven people. Well, I'm going to teach that anyway. I've got a couple more minutes here. This looks something here, an example of the prophet Elisha, which is what we call the kingly anointing. And did you get my message for the notes, guys? Nobody's saying anything. Okay. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 and 16. Our example in the Old Testament, God told the prophet Elijah to go to anoint Elisha to take his place in ministry. We see God's anointing on his prophet. We see a type and a shadow here of whoever you come under in ministry or church, you become like that church or that ministry. Huh? You can also look at it this way. Whoever you follow outside of the church, you become like whoever you follow outside the church. That's why Paul told the Roman Christians, do not follow the customs and traditions of the world. You become like the world. So when you come in contact with a man of God or a woman of God who has truly been anointed by God, something vital happens to your life.
Hallelujah.
It's not church as usual.
Amen.
Real Christians make a mark in this world.
Amen.
People who are they hunger for God and they want to do something for God. They leave a mark in this world. I said when I leave Thunder Bay, people are going to know that Roman Fisher lived in Thunder Bay and he did this thing. So, I think about that. You know, when you die, will people miss you in the church? So we need to understand this. So, you know, some people leave the church and they go to another church or move out of town, and we miss them because there's a big gap in the ministry. Some people could leave today and we will never miss them. They don't serve, they don't give money, they don't pray, they don't do anything but suck the ministry dry, so to speak. So we need to be able to be vital to a vital link in helping the church, helping God do what he wants to do together. No one person's going to do it alone. We have to do it together. So we get a picture here of one type of ministry to another type of ministry. We see a type of transfer of anointing. We see a refreshing when you're coming under this anointing mantle. We see the anointing running down, so to speak, from one ministry to another. We get a picture here of what God is saying, anointing by association. You become like who you hang around with. Sociology and social scientists tell us that we are a product of our environment. We are fed by the media what to think, how to feel about things. And you got to be careful, because some people are reading just continually negative news. I don't like to pay attention to everything Facebook says. I want to think for myself. If I want to put something on there, I want to put something that's going to help somebody, not just criticize somebody else or just talk about bad news. I don't hardly ever put any bad news on my thing. I just say what Jesus is doing, praise God. Or just a little report something about my family, and that's what it's about. People want to know about what's going on in your home and your family. A little bit, at least the good things. Don't tell all the bad things. Praise God. The devil does that. So this is also proven on a sociological level, naturally speaking. Science shows that, you know, wherever you hang around with that environment, you become just like them, and you take on the organisms. If you look at even in the natural laws of, you know, the earth, you know. So God always uses another ministry to help out another ministry. So this situation shows us, again, this whole process. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 and 16, and the Lord said unto him, that is Elijah, the Lord said unto him, verse 15, go and return thy way to Damascus. So God is speaking to one minister or a man, giving him instruction. How many people know that God will give you instruction? He'll tell you to go somewhere. And then you'll get a witness. And you know what? I'm supposed to be here. And the Lord wants you to know that he's orchestrating something in your life. Like I said, I was a young man at 24 years old going to Confederation College. And I had an encounter watching Billy Graham on television. I was a good Catholic boy going to church every Sunday. I did all my stuff, but I was still hungry for God. I got born again, and then somebody said, let's go to this church. I said, no, I'm Catholic. I can't go to no other church. I was born a Catholic. But I got so hungry. I was being fed in that church the scripture like I wanted to. So I went to visit my priest. I said, you know what? I'm hungry for God. I said, I'm born again. I know you guys baptized me as a kid, but I want to get baptized right now. He said to me, listen, you're slapping Jesus in the face. And he talked to me, and I never went back again to this very day. Drive by that church all the time. Went and visit somebody. Went to a little church, a little old church, a little old Pentecostal church. A guy convinced me, he said, come on to my church. Come to visit this church. There's a little service here tonight. And I went there and got so full of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Changed my life. I was drunk all the way from Thunder Bay to Kenora, going back to work. The Lord said to them, go, return away to the wilderness of Damascus. And when it comes, anoint, everybody say anoint. Anoint Hazael to be king. So you see, anointing to be king. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel. See another king right there. You see another king sitting down right there. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Bemalaholah, thou shalt anoint to be prophet in that room. We see a prophet over here as well. We see a prophet. So the main thing we want to see out of this picture here is the king. So the king was anointed. So he departed and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. The word plowing is indicative of working and doing your own work, whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, be busy. The word plowing also indicates someone who is in strong prayer seeking God. That's the picture in the Old Testament of someone plowing. Plowing in your own life. You got to do your own plowing in your own life so that you can go through where God wants you to go. In other words, that's a little extra. We're not going to charge for that. Now, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. You know, the prophets had the mantle, and he took his mantle and he cast it upon the other man, signifying the anointing of God was coming upon him. That's we see here, this picture of that anointing for the prophet. Psalm 105 says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. See, prophets are anointed. Kings are anointed. Luke 4:18, Jesus said this about himself. You know, Jesus operated as a prophet. And he's also called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. So thank God that we have, Jesus said, one day he got up in his own hometown. Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, had to be anointed. Okay, let's not think about that noise. Let's think about the Word of God, because we're getting our mind off this. We're thinking about this noise going on. Forget about anything. Throw that camera out, whatever they want to do with it. Okay, so Jesus had to be anointed. If Jesus had to be anointed, what's wrong with you? Jesus became a man. He laid down his glory and power. Hebrews, the second chapter says that Jesus laid down his kingly attributes as God, and he became a man. And he became a man to show us that we needed the Holy Spirit. We needed the anointing just like he did. To do work. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. I'm losing power right now. Not me, but some of you are. I can just sense it. Like, Lord, this is too much. Like, you know, you're running a race. But I was, I work out at the gym over here. And a lot of times I was going on a stair climber like this. You know how I discovered I was out of shape? I went to Paul Giles' place. I don't know if Paul Giles is watching my television today. But I went to his house, and we went way over, I don't know where it is, up here by the mountain. And he lives so high up, and this steep thing, like he has this stairs right down to his water. So he said, we went down there, and he says to me, when I come up, he says to me, when we come back for a ride, he says to me, listen, we're going to go up. If you need to take a rest, take a rest. I didn't know what he's talking about. I said, well, that's nothing. I can do that. There's no problem. So we started walking up the thing, and I go, man, oh, man, my heart was so pumping. I said, this is crazy. So I decided that from now on, it's a stair climber for this guy. So I want to be around here when Jesus comes. So Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And everybody looked at Jesus and said, what is he talking about? This is Jesus. He's from our hometown. I know his dad. His dad drives a cab over here. You see, this is how common it is, right? See, you know, people say, well, I know Roman Fisher. His dad was a traditional man. He trapped and fished over here, and I knew his mom and everything else. And Roma being called to be a minister. When I got born again, went into the ministry, became a minister, I had people from my school, they said to me, I can't believe you're a minister. I said, me too. Because I said, no, I want to be a minister. I want to be a priest, see? But priests in the Catholic Church don't get married. But I wanted to have sex and stuff. And have children. And I said, I knew definitely I'm not called to be a priest. Because I look at all these girls and, oh, man, Lord Jesus, don't come now. Huh? All the young men used to say that, you know, that, you know, Jesus is coming. So all the old people, they always be, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Everybody said, no, no, don't come yet. I want to get married. Huh? So Jesus said the Spirit of God is on me. So they didn't believe Jesus. And people didn't believe me either. I felt bad. Jesus felt bad. You all feel bad when that happened, you know. You know, people say, I'm born again. Everybody say, oh, yeah, you're one of those crazy people. You get born again, and people think you're nuts. And then when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're really insane. What? You speak with tongues, too? Yeah, you want to watch me? You know, but see, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary was speaking in tongues. She was one of the 120 members. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues, Shamahana.
That's right.
I said to myself, I said, if Mary had it, I wanted God. I want to have that. My friend told me he can pray for me. I said, no, you're not a priest. You ain't praying for me. Get away from me. He said, okay, I'll pray for 1 month. And I prayed for 1 month every night. Lord, I said the same prayer. If you want me to be filled with the Spirit, I'll be filled with the Spirit. Thank you. That's all my prayer was for a whole month. Just kept it on for a month. Then I was filled. There is something called the priestly anointing. Exodus 29, verse 4 and 7. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou shalt wash them with water. Thou shalt take the garments and put them on Aaron and the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and the gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. Thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and upon the holy crown upon the mitre, and then thou shalt take the anointing oil, pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Then the verse 30 talks about getting his sons as well into the same thing. So they were anointed with fresh oil. Marked their ministry. Then we see the kingly anointing, the story of Samuel, chapter 16, 1 to 3, and I'm going to read verse 1 here. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Because you know Saul failed. He began to do what he's not supposed to do. He was called a king, and he tried to be a priest. He failed in obeying God. How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Reigning is also signifying kingship. Reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send him to Jesse a Bethlehemite, for I have provided me among his sons a king. And God didn't tell Samuel which son it was until the man stood right in front of him. And I told you before, a lot of times the gifts of the Spirit, I will call someone in the church for healing, and they don't get up and walk up to the front in front of me. Never. So when you walk in front of me, I will know exactly sometimes what is wrong with you, and God will heal you. So I said, there's somebody being healed. They just sit there. And they know, and someone comes after the service, says to me, when you call that healing, that was me. That was my liver. I said, it's too late now. The Spirit of God departed. I don't have the anointing on me. They have to do it by faith. You have faith to receive. I got faith to pray. Sometimes they don't receive because the anointing is gone. So anyway, that's extra. And he says over here, verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him, or that is David, in the midst of his brethren. That's a sign. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I guess that's how you're supposed to pronounce it. It says some people say Ramah, but I was told that Ramah is what you say. Okay. I have found David. Psalm 89:20 says, I have found David, my servant. If you want to serve, watch this. With my holy oil have I anointed him. He's anointed him. So every time David was going to minister, this anointing would come. So under the new covenant, which is the Holy Spirit dispensation, living under the new covenant, every one of us has the Holy Spirit in us when we get born again. He comes upon us. There's a subsequent experience after you're born again, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God indwells you by His Spirit. Then when you want to serve, all those 120 people were already born again. John chapter 20, Jesus said, breathed on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And they were born again after He resurrected in John chapter 20, I believe it is.
Hallelujah.
Then those same people in Acts 1, 4, and 8 had another experience after we're born again called the infilling, or being filled or being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that anointing was for service, or serving God. Every Christian who will serve God and wants to serve God and want to do it with excellence need the Holy Spirit to live in it in longevity. You can carry on for a bit on your own, and then you'll just kind of peter out. Not just one time, but a continual experience. Not just once in a while or a special service, but on a continual basis, you see this. So those guys in John chapter 20, they were born again. Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit when He rose from the dead, because nobody was saved until Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says that Jesus was the first one to be born again. He was the first one to be raised from the dead, both spiritually and physically. Jesus had to die physically. He had to give His life physically and die spiritually, become sin for us, and went down for us. And the third day, I guess Romans 6 says that Holy Spirit picked Jesus up from the dead, raised Him up, gave Him brand new life. He was the Bible. Look at the scripture. He said He was the firstborn from the dead.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:1 says we were all dead one time, but when Jesus came to our life, we have new life. Brand new life. We are born again. We are saved. That's why we're not afraid to die. When I was a Catholic, I was afraid to die if I didn't have what they call the last rites. I already have the last rites. Jesus made me righteous, and He's allowed me to enter His holy place by His precious blood. We need this teaching. So Jesus is still standing. He's doing all this stuff. So I'm going to have to stop right here because there's so much in this. Is that okay to stop now? I didn't give you the vital. How can you tell if you're full? You're going to have to come back. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Bring me a minstrel. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I want you to have the musicians and singers up here. Thank God. You know, it's vital for us to know the Spirit. And if we don't know the Spirit, it's very hard to serve God, to have some vitality in your life. Praise God. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, we want to thank You. In the name of Jesus, we acknowledge Your Son, Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that there is no other salvation other than Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior except Him. There is no other God but You, dear Father. You're the only true God. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to be our propitiation. So we thank You today that we are born again because we believe in Your Son. Not only that, but we believe what Jesus said, that when He left, that we can have power from on high, that we can be filled with Your Spirit, that we can have a fresh encounter. So we thank You for that. We thank You for the anointing of the Spirit of God upon our lives. Thank You for dying for our sins. Thank you for paying the price that we might be healed, that we can be healed. Thank you for giving us purpose. Thank you for designing our lives with such good things. Thank you that the gifts are available to us. Thank you for the peace that we can enjoy today. Thank you for the leading of the Spirit. Thank you for connecting us together to be in union together. Thank you for putting us exactly where we need to be and where we should be, to be connected with those who are vital to our spirituality, who are vital to our sense of well-being. And so we pray also for our family who have not had that experience yet. So we pray for them. We're standing in the gap for them. He said, thou shalt be saved in thy house. And so we hang on to the promise that not only shall we be saved, but our families as well. Thank you, Lord, for every member of this congregation and those people that have family outside of this congregation that are at home that are sick right now, those that are lost and those that are without God. We pray that you send forth a laborer to those people, that they might hear the gospel, that they might hear about your son, Jesus. Send a laborer. Go forth, holy angels of God, and cause laborers to be coming in their path. And so we bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off our family members. Get your hands off our children, our husbands and wives, and our grandmoms and dads, and all the relatives. Help them to enjoy what we enjoy today, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And thank you for meeting all our needs, both materially and physically. We praise you, Lord. And now, Father, we thank you. We acknowledge the one that's here, the invisible one, the power of God, the Holy Spirit in this place right now. Come, Holy Spirit, fill every person with your power. Fill every life. Take away all the pain. Fill every heart, every hungry heart that wants to enjoy a greater dimension of your glory. Fill every person with your Spirit. We claim a fresh infilling in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Say, I am full of the Holy Spirit because of your holy word. Lift that hand and begin to praise him everywhere in the name of Jesus. Begin to rejoice and thank him today because he is your Savior. He is your Lord. He is your baptizer in the Spirit. Go ahead and praise him loudly and begin to thank him. Father, we praise you. Oh, we give you glory, Lord. You are so wonderful. Wonderful, Lord. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God. Oh, yana sanda kasambo lobo shite. Imre nene soto koro shin mini nanaksatabakara shite. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want you to join hands with one another. We're going to pray for those that are sick beside us. The same anointing that I'm ministering under will go through them and help them in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are on television, we pray that you would do the same. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for one another. You said, pray for one another that you may be healed. You said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man brings tremendous power. And so, Father, we rebuke every sickness, every disease, every pain in people's body right now. We command the sickness to go, depart now. I command pain to go right now in the name of Jesus. I command your body to be healed. And we command our bodies to be healed, that we are well according to the Scripture. And so, Father, thank you for healing. Thank you for physical healing and physical strength in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And give everyone a fresh anointing. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the holy oil of God in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Go ahead and praise him one more time. Thank him one more time. Don't forget to thank God. Don't forget to thank him. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you for the anointing that's here today. Oh, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Thank you. 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 I want to know if anybody here, that when we prayed, you felt an immediate change in your body. Is there anybody here? If there's anybody like that right here. Any change? Thank you. Anybody else? Immediate change. Anybody else? Immediate change in your body right now. Thank you. That's three witnesses right there. And then anybody else? You felt an immediate change in your body and in your being right now. And thank you. Thank you, man. So is there anybody had pain and it's gone right now? Let me see your hand. Shake your hand this way. Your pain is gone. Completely gone. You're gone. That's right. See, God's power is working. Gene, it's gone. The power is gone. The pain's gone, Gene. Gone. Praise God. Amen. See, God's working now. His invisible power is working. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Have a wonderful afternoon. And make sure you greet somebody as you leave. Amen. God bless you. We see you next time, guys. Glory to God. Amen.